my yata shakti, according to my ability, I'll try to answer them. Yata ruchi, yata shakti, according to my taste and ability. In other words, if I don't like your question, I may not answer it. No, with all the, in the previous form, yeah. Details means that in traditional Indian society, there's so many details. Traditional Indian culture, there are so many, many details. Just like, for instance, if you're to chant your Gayatri Japa, there are so many rituals which go with that. Sandhya Vandana. There are so many rituals. It takes at least half an hour to chant, to do all these different details. You rush through them all. So there are so many different details. For taking bath, there are so many different rules and regulations you have to follow. So exactly all these different details may not be able to, or not even desirable to introduce them all. Basically, Varnashram is a system of social organization in which everyone is trained for a particular occupation. Everyone works in a particular occupation, but everyone worships the Supreme Lord. And at the same time, although some allowance for sense gratification is there in the Grihastha Ashram, the detachment from the system is scientifically designed to detach one from sense gratification. So the basic principle is seen that young boys, it's seen what is their inclination, and they're trained thus, either to be first class, second class, third class, or fourth class, means that saintly priest and intellectual brahmana, administrator, to engage in agricultural activities, or to act as a general assistant for the other. And for girls, the general training is to be in chastity, cooking, and these basic things are there. And if they're married to a Brahmin, young boy Brahmin, then they'll have the duties in that line also. Similarly, if they're married to Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra. So it's a practical system of social organization with the highest goal of life in mind. Present society is simply organized for sense gratification. Varnashram allows regulated sense gratification, not unrestricted sense gratification. So it's practical to introduce that everywhere. As Prabhupada pointed out, it's not artificial to designate people as Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, because we find, even without officially designating people as such, we find these different classes of people everywhere throughout the world anyway. It's just a matter of regulating it. It's a big discussion. Ultimately, it's required that devotees do that, take up this way of life. Therefore, Prabhupada was stressing very much on these rural communities. It's very difficult to live a sane life while living in these insane cities, where the whole culture, or anti, I prefer to call it anti-culture, the whole anti-culture just drags you to hell. It's the way the society is set up, it's not conducive for advancement in spiritual life. Well, traditionally these questions wouldn't be asked to a sannyasi, but sannyasi is supposed to be the guru of all the orders. Usually these things are taught at the home, but in the home they don't teach these things. So Prabhupada was also teaching these things. And I'm also interested to teach these things. Because I see that even now in India, most of the families, always there's some friction, but basically they're living contented lives. Whereas in the West, even among our devotees, they're not happy in their family life. And many problems. And unless we can... Considering that most people get married, then unless our devotees can live peacefully and contentedly in family life, then one thing is, how are they ever going to make any spiritual advancement if they're so disturbed in their mind all the time? Another thing is, how will the society at large look towards our devotees for guidance? If we're talking big, high things, spiritual advancement, we can't even live as sane human beings, then... Who will want to listen to us? So anyway, what are the questions? Submissive to the husband means, Prabhupada described that man's psychology is that he always wants to feel himself superior. So the wife, if she tries to challenge that, then he'll become frustrated. So she serves him. Many times we find that the wife is especially in the modern age, the wife is actually mentally or even spiritually stronger than the husband. Not intellectually, I just said mentally. There's a difference between mentally and intellectually. But if she tries to directly dominate him, then he'll become frustrated. But if she tries to serve him, then he'll become very pleased, and he'll be inclined to protect her and help her. It's a cooperation. Now, several times lady devotees have come to me and said, you know, my husband's very difficult and he doesn't want me to practice Krishna consciousness, then how can I be submissive to him? But actually, even in that situation, by submissiveness, then they gradually have to bring him round and make him a devotee. Seen it work in several cases. There may be cases where it doesn't work, just like there's one devotee I know, a lady, her husband's an alcoholic, so he appears to be beyond help in this case. He's a hardened alcoholic. But most cases are not hopeless cases. Anyway, it's a very big discussion here. Generally, in the modern age, women, if they hear they have to be submissive to their husbands, they don't want to hear this at all. But according to Srila Prabhupada, if, you know, we're supposed to accept what Prabhupada says, right? So he said that all the problems in the Western, in modern society, are caused because women are not submissive to men. It's a very heavy statement. Men have to be responsible to act properly also. Practically, Prabhupada was preaching Krishna consciousness among people who, quite frankly, in the Western world, there's, as Prabhupada said so many times, it's cat and dog society. So it may take time to understand and implement all these things. It'll be different in every case. You can't say exactly. In civilized society, they have joint families. So these problems may not arise so much. A lot of problems come because of this so-called nuclear family. Now, I'll give another example. Someone was telling me it's a very complex thing. I generally recommend brahmacharis. If you're satisfied in the brahmachari ashram, then stay brahmachari. If you want to be convinced to stay brahmachari, ask someone who's been married 5 years, not 5 months. Still, most do get married, but you shouldn't be in any illusion. It's so many times we see devotees, they say, oh, it's so tough. It's really true what it says in the Bhagavatam. It really is true. It's very complex. So that's why I'm saying joint family. So in the absence of that, then the young grihasthas, it's good to take guidance from older grihastha devotees who are a little mature, if there are such devotees here. Otherwise, it's a little bit like hit and miss. One hits the other, they miss. Anyway, the most important principle is that you get married, you stay married. You can take sannyas after 25 years. No divorce. Even if you throw the whole house at each other every day, you can't get divorced. Any other questions? Family life. Yes. Well, why does Shastra say that women should be submissive? I mean, anyone can say a husband's unqualified and then on that basis not be submissive. It's an easy way to kind of get around. If there's any serious problem, then you should, like I'm saying, young grihasthas need guidance from older grihasthas. But that basic principle should be there. Now, if your husband's having spiritual difficulties or whatever, the wife, in many cases, the wife is stronger, then she should, instead of thinking, oh, my husband's not qualified, let me kick him out or kick him in the face or whatever, then she should, by sweetness, try to bring him around to the proper standard, not by fighting with him. If he has a problem, you have to try and help him. But then you should see how you can help him. Like that Prabhupada was saying, that the man, that he has that psychology, he wants to feel superior. So by service, submission, then he feels very pleased. Then he can take your advice if given in a sweet way. Or even if you don't say, he may feel so ashamed that he'll behave properly. Sure. Or otherwise you may just have to tolerate. Prabhupada's father was a pure devotee. He married his daughter, Prabhupada's sister, who was initiated by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Prabhupada's father married her to a meat eater. So she wasn't able to change him, but she served him and went on with her Krishna consciousness on the side. But if you just say, well, you know, my husband's unqualified, this, that, then you get divorce, which is worse than having no husband. Worse than having no husband, at least, you know, if you have a husband there, then there's, you know, he's supposed to bring some income and provide for the family and all these things. That, then you're just out on the street. I know that by saying this, you know, it's... it may not be very popular, but whatever I'm saying, this is what I heard from what Prabhupada is saying, and what I've practically observed. The training is different in the modern age. There's the idea of social equality on all levels. But Prabhupada was very strong on this point, that although men and women are both spiritual souls and have equal opportunity for spiritual advancement, socially they have different roles. Prabhupada said, if you want to be equal, then why don't you arrange it that one time the wife has a baby, next time the husband has a baby? It's not possible. By nature's arrangement, the woman must be dependent on the husband because she has to hold the baby. So she requires a husband. She has to be dependent upon him. Mm-hmm. In the modern age, they have this idea that stick the kids in some kindergarten and the wife goes off to work, but then you provide for them in that way. But then the children, they don't get looked after properly. The children need attention, especially young children from their mothers. They need to have food cooked by their mothers, not just something taken out of the freezer and put in a microwave. They need to constant attention. And women also, they're, by their nature, they're inclined to bring up children. You see, young girls, they play with dolls, isn't it? That propensity is there from the beginning. So this, what is prescribed in the Vedic culture, it's not something artificial. They say that it's simply made for artificial dominance of Brahmins, caste of the lower caste, and artificial dominance of men by women. But it's not. It's the system given by Krishna for the benefit of everybody. That's why we see that women in Vedic culture, they can be learned, they can do so many things, but their principal role is as wife and mother. I always recommend that before they get married, spend a little time in India and not just hanging out in the snack bar in the temple in Vrindavan, but live with the people, see how they live. It's good education. Next. Generally that's there. Generally there should be some consultation. It's supposed to work as a team. It's called Ardhangini, means half of the body. Well, if you've all these years, that's very good. Good, it's good you've got those years behind you. So maybe you're not going to change immediately. Still, it's good to adopt these principles as much as possible. Burijan Prabhu, I don't think you know him. He's one of Prabhupada's oldest disciples. What happened, his wife, she was formerly a famous film actress. She played the heroine role in a... I don't know if you know, there's one film called Ned Kelly in which Mick Jagger starred. So she was the heroine in that film. So anyway, after making that film, shortly after that, she joined the movement. And Prabhupada sent her to Hong Kong to marry Burijan, who she never met. He said, get on the plane, go to Hong Kong, Burijan's there, marry him. So she did, and they're still married. I mean, Burijan's like Vanaprastha, something like that now. But anyway, she was what you might call a modern woman. So once Prabhupada was describing, she was there, some things about the traditional roles of women and all these things. He said, but Prabhupada, I wasn't brought up like that. I was brought up in a different culture. So Prabhupada didn't force her, but he said, but still, if there's something good in this culture, then why not try to adopt it? Prabhupada never tried to force this onto people because, you know, it's not going to happen by force. But at the same time, he described these principles and he wanted his devotees to move towards this for their own benefit. We have a lot of problems in our society with divorce and remarriage and all these things. So there are scientific principles by which man and wife can live together, of which the underlying principle is that the wife should take a submissive role in relation to the husband. And then the husband also, he has to see how to treat his wife. I saw one highly educated lady in our movement married, and she told her husband before the marriage, said, look, you know, I can't get into this thing of washing your cloth and all this kind of thing, she told him. But anyway, he didn't insist on that, but she described that after the marriage that he treated her so protectively and caringly that she automatically, she wanted to do that. So it's a two-way thing. It's not simply that the men order the women around and this and that, but they also have to see to their benefit. It's very interesting. In 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, there's description of the demoniac nature. Now, in one of the key verses, which Prabhupada quotes many times, chapter 16, text 7, the translation is that those who are demoniac do not know what is to be done and what is not to be done. Neither cleanliness nor proper behavior nor truth is found in them. Nevertheless, Prabhupada he uses this as an example of what proper behavior should be. Prabhupada gives as an example of demoniac behavior that women should be given freedom. He says it is a demoniac idea that women should be given as much freedom as men. And he states how women should be given protection at every stage of life. Prabhupada explained this once in a conversation. He said that a 16-year-old boy can go all over the world, but a 16-year-old girl can't. She's in trouble. Once I was in Australia at some university, there was asked that, well, what's this idea of protecting women? What are they supposed to be protected from? So I hear the answer, from lusty men. That's a fact, that the sexual urge is extremely strong, but it's that which causes our downfall. So the Vedic culture is meant for protecting both men and women from that by giving a regulated outlet for the sexual urge within family life. For that, it is required that women be protected. I read one book once in Bangladesh in which it was described when visiting Christian missionary was asking a Muslim gentleman that why is it that you the women, if they go outside, they're dressed in this burqa, you know, this black covering, and you don't see them. If you go on the streets in the city, you'll hardly see any women at all. They stay in the house mostly. So why is that? So the Muslim gentleman replied that, well, if you have something very special, something that you consider very precious, you don't just throw it around for everyone to use. He said, we consider our women to be, you know, they're the basis of our family life. So we want to protect their chastity and their specialness. Prabhupada writes here, modern education has artificially devised a puffed up concept of womanly life, and therefore marriage is practically now an imagination in human society. Now this is really radical, it may sound, what I'm going to say now, but again, Prabhupada said it. For the children of our devotees, he was recommending he was talking about the Varnashram college, and the boys should be trained as either brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, or shudras. And for girls, they should stay at home and learn how to cook and clean and all these things. And they should learn to read and write so they can read Prabhupada's books. But the modern education system, there are so many anomalies. Boys and girls mix up on the campus. The other day, I think it must be, 4 or 5 days ago, I was at our center I just was giving the class in the Chowpatty Temple in downtown Bombay. It's just in the university area. Actually, it was Bombay? Anyway, I wasn't there. It was when we were driving back, there was another college. Anyway, we were going past the college just with the hour when the students are going in. So you see we're driving and there are all the young boys and girls, and it was just like driving through a cloud of lust. You just feel it, how the young boys and girls, they were just like absolutely overwhelmed by attraction for each other. And then what happens is that the young girls and boys, they mix up. So the young girls, they're then boyfriends, abortion, and so many things. and they their attention is on this boy, then another boy, then another boy, and then when they get married, they already their idea is to not to fix their mind on any one man. So after they get married, they have that habit, so they continue looking at this man, another man, another man, and so they're married, but they have a boyfriend. They can't remain chaste because they don't have any training like that. And being so much educated, then they're feeling, well, I'm very intellectual and this, and then they don't want to be submissive to their husband. Or even if they get married, they're always trying to show their husband how they're more intelligent than him. Mm-hmm. And therefore, marriage is practically now an imagination in human society. Mm-hmm. These are the reasons. Nor is the moral condition of woman very good now. For all the Prabhupada writes here that this idea that women should be free, independent, all this, Prabhupada says it has not improved the social condition of the world. Actually, there's a very big controversy going on about this in our movement at the present time, in which I happen to be deeply involved. In this wild exchange of com letters on this subject, someone wrote that we don't want this Indian society. Everyone knows that Indian women are the most mistreated in the world. Well, that's the propaganda in the West. And the propaganda in India also, they're making propaganda like this. But actually, you'll find that even today, most Indian women, they have a fixed husband for life, which in the West, it's just not there. Maybe here it's a little better because you're not so advanced as America and England and all these places. But they think it's better that, you know, you get married and if you don't like your husband, throw him out and get another one. And that's supposed to be advancement for women. Try a few boyfriends and then, you know, when you find someone who you really like, you can marry him. You've already had 3 kids by 3 different men. Bought them all. This is supposed to be social advancement. Demoniac. And what they think, what they call progressive, it's actually very sinful. So these are some, we could say, radical instructions of Prabhupada. But they are instructions of Prabhupada, they are instructions of Shastra. And he wanted our devotees to follow them. Like I say, he didn't try to force it on our devotees because they're brought up in a different culture and practically you can't force them to take it up. But at the same time, by studying Prabhupada's instructions, we should understand that what direction we should be going in our movement. Prabhupada writes, because they do not follow the experience of great sages and the rules and regulations laid down by the sages, the social condition of the demoniac people is very miserable. So although it may be unpopular, even among our devotees, to say these things, actually, if you follow, you'll be very happy. I've practically seen it. I've advised women who have come to me with, oh, this problem with my husband, that problem. I advise, do it like this. You should submissively serve him, be very sweet, tolerate his anger, and in this way you conquer, overcome him by that submissiveness and sweetness. And then he'll become better too. And I've seen in several cases, it works because it's coming from Shastra. It's not my imagination. You know, it doesn't make any difference to me. I'm not married. If all the husbands and wives fight and get divorced 6-7 times, it doesn't personally make any difference to me. If I don't say these, you know, I can just discuss about Krishna's pastimes with the gopis and this and that, and you know, I don't have to get involved with all these things. You know, all I'm getting for it is being called a woman hater and so many things. This is what I'm reading in Prabhupada's books. Faith that Prabhupada had no motive to exploit women or any such thing. He wanted the highest benefit for everybody. It's in crisis, but it's not shrinking. Shaking. No, it's not shrinking. It's shaking, but it's not shrinking. For all the crisis, there's so many people taking books and more people taking up Krishna consciousness. One of our 3 temples in Bombay has, in the first 3 weeks of the marathon, distributed 150,000 Bhagavad Gitas. Now, they don't want to report that in the Sankirtan newsletter because they say, well, you're selling them too cheap. But anyway, one way or the other, 150, whether it gets reported, whether they win the marathon or not, so-called, they distributed probably by now more than 200,000 Gitas. Mm-hmm. They ran out of Gujarati too, so they're only doing it in 3 languages now.
Bhagavad Gita.
You know, so many people are becoming devotees.
So there's some shaking, but the foundation is strong. Foundation is chanting Hare Krishna, following the principles. Shaking comes when we're not carefully following Prabhupada's instructions. Then more shaking will come. From time to time, we have some new idea, better than Prabhupada's, and then shaking starts. So then we realize, wait a minute, we're supposed to follow Prabhupada, and then we do that, and then the shaking stops, and then we find out some other new idea, and then again the shaking starts, like this. Anyway, my understanding of the problems with this within ISKCON, for years I've said this, that however incompetent all of us are, we're not powerful enough to stop Lord Chaitanya's mission. Despite us, this movement will go on, despite us. And if this was some kind of business organization, we'd be in the business section of the newspaper in the cartoons. It's funny, time to time people come up to us and say, "Oh, your movement is well organized." We think, "Really?" People want proof of God. Well, we have it, that this movement is going on and expanding despite us. I mean, there must be a God. From here, from Ljubljana out towards Maribor and Kushkoil, all directions, all over the world, every town and village. Chant Hare Krishna, follow the four regulated principles, read Prabhupada's books, distribute the books, same thing. The institutional problems will always be there, but the basis is chanting Hare Krishna. You see, this movement is directly sanctioned by Lord Chaitanya, but the Supreme Lord, Krishna sends his different representatives into the world at different times. Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that Jesus Christ and Muhammad were Shakti Vaishavatars, sent by Krishna to spread God consciousness. So to establish Christianity and Islam in the world, there's so many tribulations were gone through. Theological turmoil. I mean, there were so many. After Christ and Muhammad left, and there were so many discussing how exactly to follow, and there was so much churning before it became settled down. So I guess the churning will go on in our society also. But we have to stick to the basics, chanting, preaching. Those principles are eternal. Strength comes from that. Despite crisis, this, that, and the other, the more people chant Hare Krishna, then the more this room will be successful. At the end of life, all these crises, it won't matter to us. What will matter to us is remembering Krishna. For that, we have to practice sadhana. You want to improve things? Become pure. Purity is the force. Not by rules and regulations or meetings and revolutions and... that won't help. Chant Hare Krishna. Well, what is in the mind usually comes out after some time. So it's better not even mentally to cultivate an offensive attitude. Rather, we should cultivate the mood of seeing others, Vaishnavas, as Vaishnavas, seeing our own faults instead of the faults of others, keeping a humble position. That's why, you see, now some of Prabhupada's disciples have formally taken up the service of being gurus of the next generation of devotees. So it's not a very easy service. As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, if a Vaishnava becomes a guru, then he ceases to be a Vaishnava. He's supposed to be very humble, but then guru has to point out the faults of others, accept respect and service from others. It's practically antithetical to Vaishnavism. Still, someone has to do it because that is the order of Krishna. So... really, you have to offer everything to Krishna. And even though your duty is of guru is to look for the faults in the disciple and point them out, but really you have to maintain the attitude that I'm doing this as a service. You want to say that in Slovenian?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? I should just be what I am, therefore I shouldn't go to Mangalarti, I shouldn't follow the regulated principle, I should just be natural and normal, and why should I follow all these things? Because I'm not on that level. Well, you're not on the level of spontaneous attraction, but we have the rules and regulations to bring us to that platform. We shouldn't pretend that we're something that we're not, but at the same time, we shouldn't neglect to follow the regulated principles, which will make us what we're not. The regulated principles are to bring out the Krishna consciousness which is naturally dormant within us. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Shadda Kabunoi Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Kareye Udoy. It has to be brought out by the process of hearing and chanting. I thought, actually, this question about roles of women and this and that. Please read this book I've made, Glimpses of Traditional Indian Life. It'll give you some idea. It's written for that purpose of how it all fits together, how it's actually a very natural thing, not that it's some artificial imposition. At least it will give some idea. Not just a theory. It works. What does that mean? Not in any way. I mean, they should do it according to the proper system. By all means. Well, it would be certainly more favorable for spiritual advancement than to marry a drunkard and a meat eater. You know what Prabhupada said about that? He said that all the brahmacharis should remain brahmacharis and all the brahmacharinis should get married. And devotees asked Prabhupada how to do that, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, that is your management. It's a problem. Generally we find that more women join than men. And they need to get married. And mostly the brahmacharis don't want to get married. And there are less of them also. The Vedic system, generally all over the world, in most societies, the female population is more than that of the male. So in the Vedic system, polygamy is allowed. Not allowed, but it's part of, not just allowed, but it's part of the society. Prabhupada didn't encourage it within ISKCON, at least at this stage, for various reasons. One reason was he didn't want his disciples just to become more and more entangled in sex life. Another reason, he saw that devotees were having a hard time even to support one wife, so where's the question of having two or three? Plus, unless that culture is there, then it may be very difficult for the co-wives. There are different reasons. Although in India it's still quite common that if a man gets married and his wife doesn't have children, then he takes another wife. And one boy comes regularly to our temple, so he talks about my mother and my elder mother, means his mother and then his father's other wife. So we have a lot of, although polygamy is required, we're not ready for that. We're not even ready for monogamy, it seems, what to speak of polygamy. So there are some difficulties in introducing this Vedic culture in the demoniac culture. There are some difficulties. There are no easy answers many times to these difficult cultural problems. We may just have to accept that in the first generations of devotees in the West, that as just like pioneers, we may have to accept so many problems, so that devotees in future generations, they can come into a better society. We are making mistakes, and hopefully we should learn from those mistakes and learn how to progress. But in the beginning, just like pioneers, so many people founded America, and they had to, they just went in a virgin country, and they had to somehow or other make their living, and so many people died of different diseases and so many things. So it may be an unavoidable burden. At the same time, we should discuss these things. What is the direction our movement should be moving in, so we can have proper understanding? We should, as Prabhupada said, some devotees at least should move onto the land and try to establish communities in which dependence is upon the land, the cows, and Krishna. So it's pioneering. You don't know exactly what we should be doing or how it's going to work out. But with faith in the higher principle and the protection of Krishna, we try for that, so that even the communities may not be so smooth now, but for the sake of future generations, these rural communities are very... Don't allow divorce to spoil those communities. And don't bring TVs. I was here, I think, 2 years ago in the summer. I was looking at some... Here in Ljubljana, I wanted to see some Prabhupada video. So I turned on the TV. This is about 10 o'clock in the morning during the school holidays. And there they had some naked woman film they're showing. So through the TV, there's so many demoniac things which will pollute the mind. So keep that monster out. You have extra time? Chant Hare Krishna. You can't tell. What's the use of this test period? You'll be behaving in a different way. After you get married, you'll behave differently anyway. In the beginning, it's all Kamadev's arrows. It's all, You don't find out what the other person's like until later. Oh, I don't know about this test period. What are you testing? No. You may have some other system. But it's a whole, you see, in the Vedic culture, the parents, they're so careful to get their children. They see who are the partners, and astrological matching is essential. So many different factors. It's not that they just put two people, husband, boy and girl, together. And even after the marriage, they're looking after them and helping them in so many ways. So basically, there are some principles that the boy should be older than the girl, which is another reason. You see, the girls go for education, they're doing their education at 26, 27. And then, you know, by that time, whichever boys are going to be married, they're already married, so they don't get any husband. She should be less educated than, or same education or less education. Otherwise, if she thinks my husband's a fool, then how can she live with it? There are so many considerations. So now they have living together testing. But anyway, whatever the principle, whatever, one principle should be there. Once you're married, no divorce. Even if you don't like each other, you have to adjust one way or the other. Then, I don't know if there is any specific rule. I don't know. Maybe there is some rule. I don't know if there is. I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with it. Maybe I should find out what the rule is. Often people ask me what the ISKCON laws are, but I'm not very familiar with them. Best thing is don't lose your husband. Act in such a way that he won't want to leave you. And then the problem doesn't arise. Okay, that's it? Okay. So I hope you all live happily ever after.
Do konce se živíte srečno.
And all go back to Godhead. So when you all go, remember me too. Put a hook down and you can put it in the knot in my shikha and pull me up too. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.